You love me? You love me?
Of course, Pastor.
Okay. Do you know sometimes the truth hurts? God didn't tell me to butter you up and make you feel good. God said, get them ready. Get them ready. So that they can live what my word says. Last week was about preparation, right? The battle, retaliation, being prepared. Because there's another type of battle that's coming. If you didn't get that message, watch it somewhere. YouTube? Yeah? Okay. I just have to ask him. It's about preparation. And it's not preparation H. That's a bum deal. No, just kidding. The church thinks she's ready. She's not. Because she's not walking it out. I want you to be prepared. Everything I'm giving you is for day-to-day living so that you can walk out your faith, that you can be the light and the salt. Amen? So this morning's message is it's on that edge of where are you? Where are you? Because how many of you know when I see somebody who has sin, I go, oh, they got sin in their life. But when it's me, I'll say, oh, I have a situation. Right? That's deceiving yourself. So we need to be ready. Okay. Here we go. There we go. The sin of silence. I want to welcome all of you here this morning. And I know that there'll be a challenge from today's word, but I know that if you take it and you chew on it and it becomes part of you, your preparation for the battle will be great. You will be ready. Okay? Yesterday was a crazy day. We drove down for a rededication of the monument. And I did not get home until about 20 minutes of 1 a.m. And then that's when I started preparing my message. Now, I am thinking about it all the time. I don't want you to think that I'm not. But there's a lot of preparation and there's a lot of planning and there's a lot of writing and then praying over it and then rewriting it because, you know, I'm going to be held at a different level because I share the word of God. And I don't want it to ever be that I caused any of you to stumble. But I also know that I love you enough that God has told me I need to tell you the truth. We're not coming here to feel good, to see what Pastor wore today, you know, find out what snacks we brought for the snack and yak here. It's not about that. It's about us being ready for what is taking place. Amen? Have any of you ever gone to an airport? Went somewhere airport? Pretty much everybody. Okay. And have you seen the new signs that say, see something, say something? Right? So you're aware of that, right? The question would be, why do we have that sign in the airport? Now, there's obvious reasons as we have experienced many things over the last several years. But if you see something, say something, is a national campaign that raises public awareness of the signs of terrorism and terrorism-related crimes and how to report suspicious activity to state and local law enforcement. We all play a role in keeping our community safe. It's easy to be distracted during our daily routine, such as going to work, going to school, going to the grocery store. But as you're going about your day, if you see something or hear something that doesn't seem quite right, Say something. You know, Jeannie was joking with you earlier this morning when she said, you know, I'm just in the yellow zone. And we took some critical defense courses, and they talk about being in three zones, the yellow zone, the orange zone, and the red zone. And so the yellow zone is just like, you're just running your day, your routine. I mean, you don't see anything else going around you. The orange zone is like, you're like, oh, yeah, where am I? Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, I got to make sure I press the button across the street. I mean, you're kind of there. You're kind of watching. But the red zone is where you're always on alert. You're always looking. So some of you that we've gone out to eat, you'll notice that every time we go to eat, I always sit in the seat. Some of you are shaking your head. I always sit in the seat where I can face the door and my back is to the wall. And throughout our time, you have my full attention, but I am on alert. I'm always just looking, whether somebody needs help or whether it's something that could be dangerous. So this is what started me thinking. Are we in agreement that that's a good statement to have in the airport? Is that a good attitude to have really anywhere, driving downtown? I mean, Jeannie and I were driving downtown. This is about several months ago. I think we told Callie about this, that there was a guy who didn't look right. And then all of a sudden, he grabbed a backpack that didn't look right. Do you know what I'm saying, right? This was downtown Manchester, Elm Street. And so we can agree that this, if you see something that doesn't seem right, that just seems odd. I know some of us have been, we were down by the river, and Rossanne saw the exchange of a child. I'm not talking like I give it to mommy and then dad picks them up. I'm talking about selling a child. And she jumped on that thing so fast. Because all of a sudden, I mean, where she came from and where she worked and, you know, child services and all that stuff, this ain't right. This ain't right. There's something not right. There's something not right. This big black carpool, there's something not right. And then to watch it looking around and looking and then stuffing the kid in the car. And she jumped on that right away. What if that statement, if you see something, say something, what if that statement was true about spiritual matters? I didn't think about that. See something, say something to raise public awareness of the signs of demonic terrorism and spiritual attacks. You see, if you're in the yellow zone, you just think stuff's hitting the fan. You're not even looking. You're waiting for it to happen, and then it hits you. And then all of a sudden, you start to engage instead of being on the ready. You see, we as Christians have been silent for far too long. Our country was founded on godly principles. Our founding fathers were godly men. Our nation was meant to be one nation under God. And it's time that the ecclesia rise up and become what she's called to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. And Father God, we ask that you would pierce our hearts with your word. Not information, but revelation. Because revelation brings transformation. Lord, Holy Spirit, transform us. Transform us. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you noticed over the last 5 or 6 years there's been really been an attempt to silence the church? You know, we have the pandemic, and yet you can go to the casino, but you can't go to church. Or the liquor store. Yeah. And all this idea about covering our mouths, stopping us from talking, stopping people from seeing your smile. It was real. It is real. And at some point, the American church decided, whether consciously or not, that silence was way safer than obedience. I'll let that sit for just a second. the church decided that silence was better than obedience. Oh, I'm in the Word of God. I'm going to live my life in the Word of God. Well, you can't go to church and you need to put on a mask. Okay. Well, I didn't want to ruffle anybody's feathers. We stopped in the church. We stopped discipling and we went to the manage mode. We traded awakening for attendance and courage for comfort. And now we act surprised at the culture amplified daily by social media, algorithms, screens in our kids' pockets, has stepped to disciple them where the church was silent. Let me tell you, this didn't happen overnight. It was a shift, and it cost us more than we realize. Silence will always cost you more. Engaging culture is not a modern invention. It is part of the church's inheritance. You see, we are the only opposition to culture. The ideas that shaped the Declaration of Independence did not come from abstract political theory imported from Europe. They were biblical worldview issues preached and taught in the colony churches. Ideas about human dignity, God-given rights, moral limits on government, and accountability to a higher authority. When the founding fathers later gathered to put those ideas on paper, they were not inventing something new. They were articulating principles they had already absorbed from the Bible and inside their churches. You see, that was the Black Robe Regiment, the name the British gave to the men who stood in the pulpits. They blamed the men who stood in the pulpits for the Revolution War. Because they would say, this is what the Word of God says about the situation. There's nothing new under the sun. Everything's in here. I know you might find this hard to believe. The church did not follow culture in those days. It helped form it. You see, today, we have too many that stand in the pulpit who want to make Christianity user-friendly. Oh, it's okay. You can do whatever you want. God understands. Really? In fact, by the late 1800s, the focus of church began to narrow. It slowly moved from the Great Commission, making disciples of all nations, to a thinner goal, make converts. Evangelism became the destination instead of the beginning. So many get saved and they think that's the end of the journey. And we just check out, get our rapture rug, and we just pray till Jesus comes back. That's not scriptural. But that's what the church has become. Or how about this one? By the late 1800s, they were getting people into agreement instead of obedience. Oh, I believe that. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I like that. That's scriptural, yeah. But I'm not going to follow it. Jesus didn't send us out to collect decisions. He said, teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's in Matthew 28:20. So I started thinking about denying Christ. And so hearing the account of Peter who denied Christ three times, I know all of you know the story. Peter saying, Lord, I'll never deny you. And Jesus says to him, hey, listen, by the time the crow crows three times, you'll deny me three times. No, that ain't going to happen. And a lot of times when we think about that, I know many of us go, boy, am I glad I never did that. Right? If you ever heard, you know, saw the story of Peter, say, boy, Lord, I'm glad I never denied you. Ever think that? Don't raise your hand. And although most of us have never said that, most of us have never said, I don't know him, do you know we still found a way to deny him? We deny Jesus by never opening our mouth. We deny him with our silence. We should be excited about sharing our faith. We're living in a time when biblical prophecies are being fulfilled all around us. We're seeing the hand of God move. And yet, many who profess to be Christians are silent. We're guilty of this sin. We're all guilty of this sin. We've all said, oh, I shoulda, coulda, woulda. Oh, I should have done this. Oh, I should have prayed on them. I could have told them about Jesus. We fail to witness as we should. We fail to speak out when we see atrocities all around us. We fail to speak up when our government starts passing laws that it's okay to kill unborn and innocent children. We fail to speak in fear of verbal and maybe even physical engagement. Oh, I'm just afraid. I don't know what they'll say back. Or, they're my friend and I don't want to lose their friend. You will when it comes eternity. Because without the truth, we're all lost. Amen? So even the early Christians had to be persecuted to get them to fulfill what they were called to do. And that's in Acts chapter 1, right? Verse 8. This is what we commanded them to do. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria. That's like a big place. Samaria. Oh, just kidding. And to the ends of the earth. And to the ends of the earth. That's us. We're like the ends of the earth. We will receive power. You see, some of us think that we have to do something, be something before we ever open our mouth for Jesus. And he just said, you know what? Just be available. Open your mouth. I'll tell you what to say. And if you don't know what to say and they ask you a question, you just turn around and say, wow, that's a great question. No one's ever asked me that. And then go find the answer. I do that in school all the time with my kids. Every Friday we have Ask the Professor Day. You can ask me any question you want about our subject, about life, anything. And if they ask me a question, I said, you just gave me homework for the weekend. You will have an answer on Monday, but here's what I'm going to ask you to do. You find out some of the answer, too, to make sure that I'm right. What am I doing? I'm engaging them in finding answers. Amen? And yet Jesus says that you'll receive power from the Holy Spirit. It'll come upon you. You'll be my witnesses. What do witnesses do? They speak, right? They speak. And yet, the silence continues today. Christians kept silent about the atrocities of World War II when Hitler was killing the Jews. I can go through a whole bunch of wars and things that were taking place, and you think that people How could you be silent? In fact, when Bonhoeffer was in the prison, his fellow pastor friends would come by and see him that he was in prison. And they said this to him, "Why are you in here?" And you know what he said? "Why are you not?" You see, they chose the easy road to be silent. If more people would speak up, there would be less evil. More people calling somebody on it, "Hey, don't do that." "Well, who are you, my boss?" No, but that's not right. You wouldn't want somebody to do that to you. Got to speak up. In the 40s, the 50s, early 60s, the majority of Americans were attending church on Sunday. There were no businesses open on Sunday. That was the day of rest. You went to church. You spent time with your family. That's what you did. And we thought everything was okay. But Satan was in the process of lulling America to sleep. He clouded our vision and silenced our speech. Our government that was established by the people, of the people, and for the people was slowly changing before our eyes. We as Americans were gradually losing control of our government. Would you agree that our government is out of control? Would you believe that most of the governments around the world are out of control? Would you believe that most of the governments that are out of control around the world are in cahoots with each other? More than you think. Laws started to be passed that were contrary to God's word. How could that happen? Because the church was silent. Decisions that were designed to be decided in God's house by God's people are now being decided by our government, our local, state, national level. It all started to fall apart during the 60s. A huge turning point in America was on June 25th, 1962, when students were forbidden to do what they and their predecessors had been doing since the founding of our nation. Publicly calling upon the name of the Lord at the beginning of each school day. June 25th, 1962. Yes, I was alive. Some of you were there. No. Took prayer out of school. Hey, you know, can I just do this? Would you like to hear the prayer that was so offensive to them? Ready? Here we go. Pop it up there for me. Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon thee, and we beg thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. That is the prayer that was banned from school. Isn't that offensive? Oh my gosh. It doesn't even say Jesus. It just says Almighty God. When a society throws away their values, they reap the consequences. Isaiah 5:20 says this, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." A decline of America should be obvious to any thinking American. The explosion of crime, gang warfare, drive-by shootings in our cities, the falling apart of American families with increased divorce, infidelity, child abuse, single-parent families, and teenage rebellion. The explosion of drug usage, and by the way, the United States is the highest in the world. The killing of millions of babies in their mother's wombs. The rampant spread of promiscuity, pornography, sexually transmitted diseases. The dumbing down of American children in public school system. Higher taxation. The ignoring of our Constitution. exploding government controls over every aspect of the American people's lives, and gross immorality, corruption at the highest levels of U.S. government are all irrefutable evidence of a country whose culture, morality, traditions, and spiritual life are in a free fall. Like, that list that I just gave you, that's not an exhaustive list. There's more. But are we seeing this now? It's not like I'm making these things up and you go, oh, well, Pastor, you know, out of the, you know, 24 things that you just gave, only 20 of them were really. Like, every single one of them I just told you is happening. Our great nation and empires have risen and fallen throughout history. In almost all these cases, almost every single one, and I could give you a list of battles that have taken place. In almost every single case, wicked men had risen to power, morality had plunged, traditional values had been ignored, the culture had collapsed, and the people have forgotten God. That's how it happens. How does that happen? Because we're silent. The founding fathers never wanted separation of church and state. I can go through a whole teaching on that with you. But do you know that today, 67% of the people believe that the very idea is contained in the Constitution, even though those words never appear in the Constitution? It was in a letter to a friend. And it was about that the government could not create one religion to rule everybody, like England. You see, we've seen what keeping silent will reap. Christians today have been called the silent majority, and they are definitely correct about that. We have been silent. But I say, be silent no more. Be silent no more. Boy, that was a really good place for an amen. So, you know what? I'm like doing this every week now. It's getting me concerned. Let's rewind it. Be silent no more. Amen? That's a good place. You did it. That wasn't hard, was it? Isaiah 62:6, it says this, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. God's word is telling you not to be silent. Well, you know, Pastor, that's just not my personality. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That's to silence you. Every Christian should be that watchman on the wall, wherever you are. Watchman on the wall at your home. Watchman on the wall in your neighborhood. Watchman on the wall where you work. Watchman on the wall where you hang out. You have been called to be the watchman. And you know I'm not going watch woman. You know what I'm saying. Man is in humanity, right? Okay. See, if you're expecting me to be politically correct, it ain't happening. Well, that got an amen. All right. So if godly people will not speak up, then those who rule will have no ear to the voice of righteousness. You see, we don't have to take over the seven mountains of influence. We just have to be an influence. If our leaders only hear from the side that's unrighteous, how can we expect them to make righteous decisions? Because they're people pleasers. They just want, oh, I want to get reelected again. Oh, I want to. Now, that's another one. How can you be in Congress and in the Senate and all that, yet the president has term limits? Oh, if you do the research on that one, you'll find out why that was put into place. To keep the president silent, so he couldn't follow through. I mean, it's a whole thing. It's not today's teaching. Oh. God-fearing Christians must be involved, period. You have to speak up. So let me just kind of wrap this up here for you. The sin of silence refers to the act of remaining quiet when one should speak out about the truth regarding the Bible and Christianity. This concept is often linked to the idea of the sin of omission, where individuals, particularly clergy, choose not to share important truths, or they promote falsehoods to maintain their position. There's a lot of pastors out there that are going to preach things that make you feel good that are not biblical. When I drive by a church of worship and it tells me the sign up front says, everybody's welcome here, everybody's not welcome there. If you got to say it, well, you know, somebody has a family member that's, you know, doing drugs, so you really shouldn't talk about doing drugs in church because you might offend them. I have siblings that are homosexual, so don't you preach about homosexuality because that's going to offend somebody. You see, we're more concerned about people than we are about God and His Word. And if we're not concerned about God's word, they're going to hell because we didn't tell them the truth. How do they know what decision to make if all that we do is say, you know what, your sin is okay. God understands you. How about if we get into God's word and just stop finding out, you know what, sin is sin. And I'm not just picking on, you know, those that might be confused gender-wise. But you know what? What's the difference if you decide that you can screw around with other people's wives or husbands? That's sin too. Oh, well, God will understand. No, He won't. Stop. Stop. That's when you should be silent, when you're not talking God's word. You see, we want to embrace, everybody else has the problem, they're sinning, but I just have a situation. That's not what it's about. It's about making the Word of God your foundation in every single thing that you do. The way I treat my wife, it's in here. The way I treat my children and raise them, it's in here. The way that I teach in the public school, and I don't sit there and give a sermon, unless they ask me, then I'm just answering a question that they might have had. The sin of silence has significant implications for the church and its role in society. An implication is moral responsibility. The church has always been the moral compass. But when she became silent, she no longer leads or points the direction. We're all called to speak out against evil and injustice. Silence in the face of wrongdoing is seen as a failure to uphold moral and spiritual responsibility. We've been called to promote, responsibility. Promotion of falsehoods is another one. When we choose to be silent over truth, we may accidentally promote falsehoods, leading people away from genuine understanding. Some of you remember Gelly, Angelica. Well, her and her husband, when they would go to church, if the pastor said something that didn't line up with Scripture, they sat there until everybody left, and they would be the last one to leave, and they would say to the pastor, everything was good, but you know that thing that you said, da, 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 da? That's not what it says in Scripture. They would say that to the pastor. Because, you know, sometimes things get preached because there's a hidden agenda. I got no agenda. I don't get paid to do this. God told me to do this. So you know what that means? You can't fire me. Called job security. As long as this is right, remember that was the beginning? I've had people leave because it's black and white. It didn't mean you didn't hear it. Now you can decide. See, we've been called to emphasize the need for vocal and public affirmation of truth. We need to speak truth everywhere we go. To encourage each other, to speak up, to address issues of injustice and moral decay in society, and to defend and support those who cannot speak for themselves. Esther 4:14 frames this issue. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Mordecai is challenging Esther to show Esther that keeping quiet when God calls us to speak is never neutral. It carries consequences for us and others. Your silence when truth needs to be spoken, if you are silent, you will cause consequences to not only you, your family, but those within your circle. The sin of silence is a call for accountability within the church, urging each of us to engage actively in promoting truth and justice rather than remaining passive. Leviticus 5:1 says this, if anyone sins because they do not speak up when they hear a public charge to testify regarding something they have seen or learned about, they will be held responsible. You don't even have to be the one that did it. But because you would not speak truth, you're held responsible. Not me. Don't take it up with me. If you got a problem with that one, take it up with the big guy. Because I didn't say it. God did. God said that you will be responsible if you're silent. James 4. James was hard. Boy, I did a study in the book of James. Took us a whole year. It's crazy. James 4:17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. You know what the right thing to do. You don't need somebody to tell you. You see somebody in need, you help. You see somebody that needs encouragement, you give encouragement. If there's somebody that needs financial help or... It is a call to recover the courage to discipline people fully, to teach believers how the gospel speaks to every area of our life. Every area of your life is in here. Everything that's happening or has happened, it's in here. If you look at the things that are going on and you just change the names, you could actually read that in the Old Testament stories. The things that are going on with governments, the manipulation that's going on, the hurting of people, it's in here. Just change the names. To teach believers how the gospel speaks to every area of life, including the ones that make us uncomfortable and unpopular. Yes, I'm telling you, you will be unpopular when you speak the truth. Just like when your kids are spoiled because they get everything they want, and then all of a sudden you don't give it to them. Oh, I hate you. You always say no. Be prepared. That's what society is going to do. Because we've let them have their way for so long, they're spoiled in sin. And now we're going to bring that line back to where it is, biblical line, and I'm going to tell you they're going to whine and cry like babies. Get ready. Go to your room until you can talk. So listen, in closing, silence does not protect the church. It weakens it. It weakens it. If we want awakening instead of apathy, we must return to a robust discipleship. We got to stop apologizing for biblical clarity. There are people that their lives, they're doing stuff that's so ungodly. And they're like, yeah, so what do you think about that? And I said, well, I know why you've made those choices. But that's not God's best for you. So now who are they going to get mad at? Me? No, they're going to have to take it up with God. Who do I want them to talk to? Not me. Talk to God. And we must remember that the gospel was never meant to be hidden from the public square. Our society goes to ruin when this doesn't have an influence. When this has influence, the Word of God says that it makes your path straight. It says that when evil is in government, there's the gnashing of teeth. But when the righteous rule, hallelujah. The church in America did not lose its voice because it spoke too boldly. It lost it because it stopped speaking at all. I challenge you this morning, be the voice. Be the voice. Stop embracing the sin of silence. Make a difference in your circles of influence. Amen? Before I pray for you, just being the teacher, I have a two-sided handout for you. And the only reason, and you don't have to take this, I'm just telling you, you don't have to take it. But the handout says, practical steps to keep speaking. It's all biblical. Okay? There are 10 steps. Throw it in the front seat of your car. When you're stuck at a red light, take a read. The guy behind you will let you know when the light turns green. He may be waving also, but, you know, depending on their faith, it'll determine how many fingers they're using while they wave. This is for you. Because the Lord, I wasn't going to do this, but the Lord put on my heart, and this was at 4:30 this morning. He said, what about the person who says to you, how do I keep speaking? How do I get over that? How do I? This is it. Okay? So if you would like one of those, Eric will pass them out after we pray. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you as we've gathered together this morning. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word that is like a two-edged sword that sometimes it cuts very, very deep. Holy Spirit, we come before you this morning and we ask for your forgiveness. Forgiveness for being silent. As we sit for just a moment, we remember all the times that we could have spoken on behalf of righteousness. We could have prayed. We could have spoke about our Jesus. And we didn't. Heavenly Father, forgive us. Forgive us. Holy Spirit, you are in us. You are with us. And you move through us. This morning we come before you. And we say we're ready. We're ready. Holy Spirit in us and through us. Let us not lose our voice, but let us speak boldly. Let us speak the truth of your word, the truth of a loving, just God, the truth of a Savior who paid the price so that we could be redeemed, the truth of the one who dwells within us. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this word. And Holy Spirit, encourage us. It's not about our personality. It's about speaking, speaking, speaking the truth of who you are and your word. And we give you all the praise and all the glory And we pray that in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, amen and amen. I hope this morning challenged you to put a line in the sand and to make that decision to not be silent. God bless you and shalom.